Good evening, friends, and welcome once again. I'd like to express my appreciation for the privilege of being with you the past month. We certainly enjoyed the rich fellowship and the warm hospitality. And we're so grateful again to the Lord for giving us the privilege of being with you. The most difficult thing I find in my Christian experience is to say goodbye. So, on behalf of Peggy and I, we thank you once again, and be assured we will meet again, maybe on Canaan's shore. Now, shall we turn, please, again to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3:3, and reading verse 13. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills. And for the precious things of the earth, and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Another portion, the book of Genesis, chapter 49. I'm reading verse 22:22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches ran over the wall. The archers of Saul aggrieved him, and shot at him, and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So once again, the Lord will bless to us these readings from his precious word. As we sang that last hymn, Love lifted me. I'm sure that's what Israel could have said as we've been retracing the movement of God's people. Joshua and the nation of Israel faced one great obstacle, the turbulent waters of the River Jordan. The solution lay in a vessel called the Ark of the Covenant, as we have observed in past nights. And Joshua said to Israel, When ye see the Ark of the Covenant, leave your place and follow the Ark. Once again, friend, that is the secret of blessing for you and me. We must leave our place, a place of disobedience, place of distress, place of discouragement, and follow the Lord Jesus. Follow the ark. And we have looked not only at the movement of God's people, but the memorial to God's power. The moment the Ark of the Covenant went into those turbulent waters, Israel could have sang, Love lifted me out of those stormy waters. And 2 million people passed over on dry land, not one left behind, and they went into their inheritance, into the land of Canaan. Those waters went back as far as the city called Adam. Again, a picture of the Lord Jesus going into those waters of death, and rendering him powerless with the power of death, that is the devil, and to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So the waters, they disappeared, and they went out and moved onto dry ground. And then we've been occupied with the memorial, the message for posterity. Joshua instructed one of each tribe to go into the River Jordan and take out a stone, a large stone, obviously, it was on the shoulder. And those stones were put down on the other side of the River Jordan as a memorial, as a witness. And it was a message for posterity forever. That's what Joshua said. This shall be a memorial to you forever. And so what was a memorial and a message for them is also a message for us. And so the message was the challenge, what mean ye by these stones? Each stone had a message. And we've been looking at the review of Moses, and we took, for example, Reuben. What mean ye by this stone? And we suggested on that stone, that message was one of salvation. Let Reuben live and not die. God willeth not the death of any, but that all should come to him and live. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. God wants to see all men, women, boys and girls saved and headed for the heavenly inheritance reserved in heaven for us. Salvation. And then we spent some time looking at Judah. What mean you by this stone? He suggested supplication could be written on that stone. Hear the voice of Judah. God just loves to hear his children pray. He's ever listening to our petitions night and day. Supplication. Then on Wednesday evening, we looked at Benjamin. What mean you by this stone? And we suggested security. Benjamin, the beloved of the Lord, shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. Now tonight we come to Joseph. What mean ye by this stone? And I suggest to you, we could put on that stone selectivity. Salvation, supplication, security, now selectivity. We find that Joseph was selected by God before he was separated by his brethren. God knew there was a great need, and he required one to come to meet that need, and the one that was selected was Joseph. His brethren put him in a pit. They sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And finally he was cast into prison. The trial was bitter to Joseph, but the triumph was sweet. We see in Joseph one who is a picture of the Lord, but also he personifies the saints. He pictures the Lord Jesus, but he also personifies the saints. We read in Genesis 49, Jacob's appraisal, we read, Joseph is a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough. We see this. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant. I am the true vine, he says. He is indeed a fruitful bough. So we incorporate this into our thinking tonight. The delightful man. Because when Pharaoh's dream was interpreted by Joseph, Pharaoh said, is there a man like this? A man in whom the Spirit of the Lord is. He was a delightful man. Is there a man like this? Moses was called the first man in the Bible, a man of God. The only man in the New Testament was a young man, Timothy, the man of God. Daniel, Gabriel said, man greatly beloved. And the Shunammite, seeing the prophet passed by, I perceive it that this is a holy man of God that passes by continually. A friend of never was a man like the Lord Jesus. The disciple says, what manner of man is this? He was indeed the delightful man. The poet says, our blessed Lord combined in one two natures all complete, in perfect manhood all sublime, and Godhead all replete. As man, he went to Cana's feast, a humble guest to dine. As God, he moved the waters there and turned them into wine. As man, he suffered weariness and sat upon a well. As God, he pierced the sinner's heart and saved her soul from hell. As man, he climbed the mountain height, a suppliant to be. As God, he left the place of prayer and walked upon the sea. As man, he lay within a boat overcome by needful sleep. As God, he rose, rebuked the wind, and calmed the stormy deep. As man, he wept with heartfelt grief around the loved one's grave. As God, he brake the bands of death, almighty power to save. As man, he yielded to his foes, surrendered to be bound. As God, his presence overawed and cast him to the ground. Such was our Lord, in dual natures one, the woman's seed in very truth, but God's eternal Son. Thou child, thou son, thou worldly flesh, be thy high praise increased. Thou wonderful, thou mighty God, eternal Prince of Peace. There never was a man like the man Christ Jesus, the delightful man. Not only was Joseph a delightful man, is there a man like this? But Joseph was a well, we read, by a well. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a well. Not only a delightful man, but a distinguished man. A man by a well. We recall again John's Gospel, chapter 4. The woman from Samaria, ostracized from society, came to draw water at noontime, which was a natural, generally in the evening. Ostracized from society because of her lifestyle. But the Lord Jesus, this distinguished man, knew her need. And we read those words, he must needs go through Samaria. And no Jew worth his salt would ever be found in Samaria. But here is the eternal lover of all man's souls. And he moves it. And in that conversation with that woman, he pinpointed her sin in a very delicate way. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, this distinguished man. Go call thy husband, and step by step, he points to Jacob's well. Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And it shall be in him as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The delightful man. The distinguished man, he pictures the Lord Jesus. Then we read in Genesis 49 here that the archers grieved him. He became the degraded man. The only man that ever had a reputation, made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a bond slave and was made in the likeness of men. The archers grieved him. As we saw this morning, not this man, but Barabbas. But just like Joseph, the delightful man, the distinguished man, the degraded man, he was a deliberate man.
We read in Genesis 49 that they shot at him. They made him their target for their hatred, but Joseph was determined to carry out the will of God. And he's only a picture of the Lord Jesus, who was deliberate. Satan tried to cause a deviation in his pathway. Time and time again, he sought to kill the Lord Jesus as a babe in Bethlehem and in many other occasions. But the Lord steadfastly set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He gave his back to the smiters, but then the plucked of the hair, he hid not his face from shame and from spitting. He was deliberate. He knew that he must die if you and I are going to be saved and go home to heaven. And so he pressed on, in spite of overwhelming odds, the deliberate man, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the majesty in the heavens. Deliberate man. Though our hearts are touched when we think of him, that he was a despised man, just like Joseph. Joseph was a moral, upright young man, the object of his father's special love, and they hated him, sold him to the Ishmaelites. There was no one more hated than the Lord Jesus. He could say that they that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. The despised man. But how gratifying to note that we read again that his bow abode in strength. He was the determined man. Determined. The plan of salvation that was devised in the dateless, timeless past. He volunteered to put it into motion. And he went right on to the end. And in his high priestly prayer in John 17, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. We thank God tonight, beloved friends, that the work was completed to the satisfaction of a holy God. It is finished. The determined man. And we read in Genesis 49, from thence is the shepherd and the stone of Israel. So he is a delightful man. No mortal can with him compare among the sons of men. Fairer is he than all the fair who fill the heavenly train. The distinguished man. The degraded man. The deliberate man. The despised man. The determined man. But he was also the delegated man. From hence is the shepherd and the stone of Israel. As a shepherd, he sustains his flock. And as a stone, he gives support. We were just like wandering sheep. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, says Isaiah. But the Lord Jesus came out as the good shepherd, seeking the sheep that was lost. Happy those tonight who can say with the psalmist, that the Lord is my shepherd. Having a personal link with the Lord Jesus. One of my favorite little stories is about a young boy, a waif of the street in London, England, landed in a hospital. One of the outstanding men of the early Brethren movement, Lord Radstock, used to love to visit the hospital. And he went in and he met this little boy. He says, do you know anything about Jesus? Never heard of the Lord Jesus. So obviously he knew nothing about the Bible. The Lord Radstock took his little hand And he pushed down finger after finger, this Lord is my, and he pushed down the fourth finger, my shepherd. And he prayed and he left. Next day he returned to the hospital, met the nurse in the corridor. How is my little friend? And she broke down in tears. I'm sorry to tell you, sir, he died last night in his sleep. He was shocked. Was there anything extraordinary about his exit? Not really, she said. Except when we removed the bedclothes, he was lying dead this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I went to visit a lady in Detroit, very religious, but not sane. And I told her the little story about the boy and Lord Radstock. Went to visit her the next day, back in the hospital. And when we came through, her nephew and I, she goes this way. She says, last night I couldn't sleep. And I made the Lord Jesus my personal savior. And I can say the Lord is my shepherd. With the joy of pointing her husband to the Lord, who was over 70 years of age. Sometime later he took a stroke. Hadn't spoken for about 2 years to anyone. And I went to visit him in a nursing home. Put my arms around him and said, Uncle Jimmy, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, and more. His nephew said, what did you say? And more. And he never said another word to the day he died. God loosed his tongue to give the testimony that his dear wife who went home to glory some time before him, and he and her will meet again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Today, he's still a shepherd. From thence is a shepherd. Today, he is the great. He is the chief shepherd. In a coming day, today, he is the great shepherd. And the God of peace was born again from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, says the writer to Hebrews chapter 13. And so, 24 hours a day, he's working on your behalf and mine. Ever living to make intercession for us. One day soon, he's going to come out from the glory as the chief shepherd to reward the under shepherds, those that have worked faithfully for him in their Christian ministry. He pictures the Lord, and he is indeed the delegated man. He gives us not only sustains us, but he supports us. He said to Peter at Caesarea Philippi, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So this man, Joseph, selectivity, he pictures the Lord Jesus. But secondly, he also personifies the saints. He was selected again by God to go ahead of the brethren who needed food. And you remember that priceless story. After he came out of the prison, is there a man like this, says Pharaoh. And he says to Pharaoh, you'll sit. Pharaoh said to Joseph, you'll sit with me, you'll ride in the second chariot. And he gave him a name, Zaphnath-Paaneah. Again, in the Coptic language, it means the revealer of secrets. And in the Hebrew language, it means the savior of the world. Now, the woman by the well, she discovered that he was the revealer of secrets. He knew her past, he knows your past, he knows my past. Revealer of secrets. But oh, how wonderful that he is indeed the savior of the world. And she said to the men of Sychar, come see a man. This distinguished man, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And the men of the city were overwhelmed when they heard him preach. They asked him to stay a few more days. And they said to the woman, "We have seen him ourselves and know him to be the Savior of the world." And the Lord Jesus, just like Joseph, was taken from the prison. "Thou hast brought me into the lowest pit," he says in Psalm 88. And he sits today on the throne at God's right hand, again ever living to make intercession for us. It's amazing that we also were selected. God in his foreknowledge knew our need. He knows those that will accept him and those that would reject him. And when Joseph's brethren came down to buy food, and he finally wept when he saw them, and they knew that it was within his power to execute them, and he says to them, "Be not grieved or angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Selected by the Lord. Paul writes to the Ephesians, and he says that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So God in his foreknowledge knows those that will accept him, and those that will reject him. He's the omniscient one. And in the light of his foreknowledge, we are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We notice here in this little section 12 through 16, four times there's a reference to the word precious. Verse 18, precious things. Verse 14, precious fruits. Verse 14, precious things. Verse 15, precious things. Five, excuse me. And then verse 16, and for the precious things. 76 times in the scriptures we find that word precious. And as God's people, we have been the recipient of many precious things. It's come our way because of the work of the Lord Jesus. We have the precious inspiration of Holy Scriptures. The word of the Lord was precious in the days of Samuel, and the word of the Lord is precious to us in our day. Day of difficulty, day of discouragement, but there's nothing to be compared with the word of the Lord. All scripture is God breathed, says Paul, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It's a very, very precious thing to have in our hand the word of God. All scripture is God breathed, the precious inspiration. And men have tried to mutilate the word of God, destroy it, burn it. But there the Bible stands, in spite of all the opposition, after many, many years in its compilation. We have a precious inspiration. But again, we have a precious foundation. In Isaiah 28, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a precious, tried corner stone." The Lord Jesus, again, is that foundation. Tried. His love to the utmost was tried, but firmly endured as a rock. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And the Lord reveals to us, remember, in the language of the parable, there are those today building on sand, fleeting, transient things. But happy are those who are building on the sure foundation, the solid rock. "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation." God laid the foundation.
And we are being built upon the Lord Jesus, who is the first corner stone in the building. To whom coming as unto a living stone. We're taken out of the river Jordan, out of baptism, to be living stones. To whom coming as unto a living stone. He also says lively stones are being built up. And the Lord Jesus is that precious foundation. And that eternal city up there has its foundation in the Lord Jesus and the apostles. What a foundation. Then, again, we have another precious ingredient. We have this precious cultivation. Whoso goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Friends, there's nothing to be compared with the gospel message. Oh, we're living in sophisticated days, and people try to tickle the ears of people, but that will never reach down to the soul. The Lord Jesus, he went forth bearing precious seed. He came to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. His first exercise was to preach the gospel. Healing was secondary. The disciples went out and they majored in the preaching of the gospel. Saul was a giant intellect. He was a master of several languages. And yet when he stood on Mars Hill, amongst the philosophers of the day, he preached Jesus and the resurrection. That's the only message calculated to turn sinners from their sin and come to Jesus and seek him as a personal Savior. Whoso goeth forth and weeping, and we should shed more tears for those that are lost. The gospel is serious business. Whoso goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, will doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So we have a precious inspiration, precious foundation, precious cultivation. But oh, we think of the precious translation. The psalmist tells us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And I'm convinced when a soul leaves this planet Earth and they wing their way to glory, like Lazarus, they get a special angelic escort. Precious translation. Every saint of God is precious to the Lord. And one day soon, the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The precious translation. Soon we shall mount and soar away to the bright realms of endless day and sing with rapture and surprise his loving kindness in the skies. Precious translation. But then, as I close, we have another precious thing, which is perhaps the most precious of all things, the precious occupation, to be occupied with the Lord Jesus. Again, to whom coming as unto a living stone, in all things he must have the preeminence. You remember that blind songster, Fanny Crosby, in anticipation of the great translation. She spoke about seeing his face. The glorious face of beauty, or gentle touch of care. If here it is so blessed, what will it be up there? Occupation. We ought to be occupied with him more and more. More about Jesus would we know. And all this became possible because of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. We are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And Peter could write out of experience, because you remember, he and John are going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. There's a man begging, seeking alms. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as we have we give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. One great theologian went to visit that gentleman in Rome called the Pope. And he showed this gentleman the treasure of the church. And so he apologized to the theologian, and he said, of course we cannot say, like Peter, silver and gold have I none. And the theologian said, sir, and you still can't say like Peter, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We have a precious foundation, and we thank God tonight for the blood that was shed at Calvary to bring us into that happy relationship with our blessed Savior. So I do trust that we'll search our foundation tonight to see if we're converted and that we are in God's family waiting for that precious translation. Shall we pray? Father, again we thank thee for the selectivity of Joseph, taken from the dungeon and put on the throne. We thank you, Father, thou hast plucked us, as it were, from the dungeon. And we bless thee, O Father, we will sit with the Lord Jesus in glory, all because of the work of the cross and the precious blood that was shed to save rebels such as we. We bless thee tonight for our dear Savior, and help us, O Father, to press on to witness for him to others that they might be attracted to the wonderful man of Calvary. Part us now with thy blessing, we pray, as we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Amen.